Well, hey, this is your old friend Bill. Whenever I find myself in Davis, I'm busy putting the fun in fundraising. But when I'm not, I always listen to KDVS 90.3 FM. And you should too. Go Aggies!
This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to another edition of Radio Parallax. On today's show, we will discuss Title IX and its unforeseen impact on American sports with our sports correspondent, Sean Minton. And in our third segment, Dr. Whitney Lehman will rejoin us to continue our discussion on how food is produced in America, in this case, meat, the American meat industry, and some interesting revelations we need perhaps to keep in mind. I'd like to start out this show with a couple of corrections. Now, that may be getting off on the wrong foot, but I don't think so. We think it's important on this program that we bring you accurate information. And if we've not done so, let's clear the air on that matter. A couple weeks back, we said that your tax dollars were in effect being returned to you through KDVS, but that was not correct. KDVS is not supported by the taxpayer. It is supported by student fees at UC Davis. An alert caller advised us of that fact, and we should correct that. I think the students of UCD deserve really a round of applause for bringing you what is an excellent resource. It's a community radio station. Many people supporting it are volunteers. Not all are students. I'm not. But you, the taxpayer, are not supporting this operation. If you'd like to, and I think you should, you can certainly dial us up on the web at kdvs.org and make arrangements to see that shows like Counterspin keep coming your way via KDVS. Our public affairs broadcasts, of which this is one on this radio station, attempt to bring you some different viewpoints which you may not be getting from the mainstream media. Jeff Kravitz's show, Panic Attack, a couple days ago, I guess Jeff couldn't make it in. They ran a Counterspin, a couple of them actually, and I was very impressed by the quality of the programming. It's produced by Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. And Counterspin aims to basically advocate greater media pluralism. And that it does, with some excellent stories that it provided, like on Rush Limbaugh, and how Limbaugh was suggesting to his radio audience that Senator Tom Daschle may actually be the devil incarnate. Now, in his own Limbaugh way, he was joking when he said that, no doubt, but he was actually seriously implying that Senator Daschle was aligning himself with Iran, North Korea, and Saddam Hussein, and the axis of evil. I think such things should not go unchallenged, and I'm glad that Counterspin was there to do it for us. This isn't a pledge drive, by the way, but I don't think it hurts to mention that your support can help keep KDVS providing you with some valuable programming. Correction number two, we advised you 3 weeks back that you should go out and seek the Leonid meteor shower on the night of November 18th, and I'm be willing to bet that some of you did, perhaps with our urging. The mainstream media flubbed that story that prognosticators were wrong when they estimated there'd be a meteor storm that night, and so we really don't have to admit this. The media's inaccurate reporting on this one's covering for us, but as we say, we're determined to bring you accurate information. So unlike a lot of other shows, we're going to do it even if it doesn't make us look so good. To this reporter, there was not a meteor storm that night, and it wasn't just the full moon that washed it out. Last year, when there was a genuine storm, there were a lot of meteors brighter than the planets. This year, I saw none. So it appears that the astrophysicists who calculated these things either missed on their orbital calculations or they really grossly underestimated what a full moon's effect would be on the display. It was too bad regardless, and if you did spend a cold night shivering looking for a meteor storm, well, we're sorry about that, but we were in the same boat, and really the only way you could check it out was to roll the dice and go out that night. You know, you pays your money and you takes your chances. But let's see if we can make it up to you. We can, with great confidence, predict an astronomic spectacular that's coming this summer. It won't take a few minutes, like the total eclipse of this week, which we hoped to attend and we'll tell you about in the weeks to come. We'll give you a report on that one. This one will take several weeks to unfold. You'll have quite a bit of leeway in observations. In August, Earth laps the planet Mars, which it does every couple years because we orbit faster. But this will be an unusually close approach this time. Mars's orbit is more elliptical than the Earth's orbit. So all these oppositions, when we pass it on the inside, are not equal. It varies something like 30 million miles or so throughout a Martian year. Earth, in contrast, only varies 3 million miles between our closest approach every January 3rd and July. Now that's correct. January 3rd, we are the closest to the sun, and in July, we are the farthest. But in August, we will lap Mars within a day or so of Mars's closest approach to the sun. The result of that is it'll be our closest approach to that planet in the last 78,000 years. Observing will be better in Mexico, so think about heading south with your telescope next August. We'll update this story, and we hope to maybe collaborate with This Week in Science, our Tuesday morning science show on KDVS, which brings you the skinny each week on what's going on in science. And I think that'd be a good collaboration for our two shows. By my rough calculations, Mars will be only about as high as the sun is in a mid-October day. So to rise it higher in the sky for better observation, a trip to Mexico would be advised, or maybe even South America might be good. And I think this is actually something for you to think about. Foreign travel is a wonderful adventure, and having a free show available to you in the sky when you get there is added motivation. All right, in political news / current events, the drumbeat for war continues, and I think we should at this moment play the administration's new theme song.
Now this means war!
Freedom is going to war! Each native son will grab a gun and run away to war!
At last we're going to war!
Freedom on the streets of war!
We're going to war!
At last the country's going to war!
This is the country's going to war!
At last the country's going to war!
We're going to war!
This is a fact we can't ignore!
We're going to war!
This is a fact we can't ignore!
We're going to war!
Only it isn't Fredonia going to war, it's the United States of America. Some suspect that a pretext is going to be found soon, despite Sodom's current every effort to comply with international inspections. I think a pretext is being sought, regardless of whatever we find, which is so far not much. So I think a Gulf of Tonkin-type incident may yet come our way, perhaps as early as January. Some folks are thinking that the new moon cycle in early January, January 2nd, may be the time we're going to go. I think it's myself. I think they're covetously eyeing perhaps the new moon in the very end of the month of January. And by the way, it is day 440 now in the unsuccessful search for Osama bin Laden. I think we should keep in mind the fact that we were attacked by bin Laden on September 11th, 2001, and he's the guy we need to be looking for. I was really shocked listening to Capital Public Radio a little while back when Bob Woodward was being interviewed by Terry Gross and blandly mentioned that, oh yes, the administration's been planning a war with Iraq long before the September 11th attacks. This basically is just their pretext. And this is coming from the mouth of Bob Woodward, currently writing a book about the Bush administration and its war plans. And he mentioned it so casually, like, oh, ho, hum, yeah, by the way, this war was planned before that. I think that'd be a good thing to have some headlines about, don't you? Dr. Henry Kissinger was recently named to head a Blue Ribbon panel aimed at exploring intelligence failures prior to September 11th. Joining us today on Radio Parallax to discuss this is former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. Thank you for coming on our show, Doctor.
I welcome the chance to speak to young people as I did while visiting your University of Davis years ago.
Well, Dr. Kissinger, the president said he wanted no investigation of 9/11 intelligence failures, none whatsoever, and yet he seems ready to promote your team's effort.
We will try to fulfill the desires of the president, and I assure you we will conduct a thorough investigation of these various baseless charges and miscellaneous irresponsible allegations.
Well, why you for this job? If you don't mind my saying so, the right thinks that you're an untrustworthy schemer, while the left regards you as a war criminal.
Well, there's just no pleasing some people.
Well, why take the job?
I've always said that power is the ultimate aphrodisiac, and frankly, I could use a little more power right now.
Well, have you checked with Senator Bob Dole?
And I welcome a chance to return to government. I've always considered it an honor to be a public servant, Doug. And frankly, I miss the destabilizing of governments, the coup d'etats. We had such freedom back then. Nowadays, you can't even greenlight the kidnapping of a journalist without tons of red tape.
Well, would you comment on the criticism people have had of your past actions?
You must understand that back then, bombing the hell out of Cambodia and Laos just seemed like a good idea on paper.
But that bombing cost billions, lasted years, dropped more ordnance on Laos than the whole European theater of World War II, killed millions of villagers, yet still didn't stop the Viet Cong.
Whoops.
Have you any preliminary opinions about the failures of U.S. intelligence?
I suspect they were so underfunded they could not do their job.
And you anticipate, I suppose, recommending that we give the same people even more money?
Money is key, always.
What about the FBI agents who tried to warn superiors that something was up with Arab students taking flying lessons?
That was already reported in the press, and we will try and clean the issue up.
What about the report that no jet fighters were scrambled for 75 minutes despite the unprecedented simultaneous hijacking of four commercial jetliners?
That sounds startling.
Well, that's what we thought.
Now I'll look into it. Let me make note of this. Jets not scrambled. Delay.
What about the warnings from foreign intelligence sources and Vladimir Putin that an attack was imminent using jetliners?
You're saying we had specific warnings?
Well, apparently we did. And what about that surge of stock orders on United and American Airlines just before 9/11 that was betting the prices would drop?
Well, then I must have missed that one. That's interesting, too.
Well, what's really interesting is that whoever made those orders through a CIA-affiliated bank has never been revealed to us.
Well, it's almost enough to make one think that something fishy is going on. I'm making another note to check that out, too. I get fishy. CIA orders, stock, bank, Bush, White House. Have you any other concerns?
Well, do you see any blame being leveled for negligence here or worse?
Well, this? No. As for negligence, we should conduct an investigation before I answer that.
I suppose it would look good to actually conduct some investigation.
Yes, it does look good.
Who'll be on your panel?
I will probably look to people like Senator Alan Spector to help convince the public that, despite a few flubs, all we need is to throw more money at intelligence.
Didn't Spector help the Warren Commission concoct that wacky idea that JFK and John Connally were hit by the same bullet?
Well, we value the senator's ability to think outside the box.
Well, he is innovative.
You know, I really must be running along now, but if your callers should protest, as they often do at college stations, that I am a war criminal, please point out that most of what I did was not done while at war.
Well, if they do call you that, we will point that out.
Very good.
One final question.
Yeah.
Do you anticipate being asked to help O.J. find the real killers?
Well, Mr. Simpson and his team have not asked to employ my talent.
Well, if they do, are your talents available?
Well, how much is he paying?
I don't know. But thank you again for your time, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger.
You're most welcome.
Well, in all seriousness, I think we have to ask the question of why it is war with Iraq seems imminent when we were not attacked by Iraq on September 11th. And I think at this point it might do us a bit of good to take a look back at a very famous speech that might shed a little bit of light on this issue. The speech was made by outgoing President Dwight David Eisenhower on a nationally televised address on January 17th, 1961, just 4 days before John F. Kennedy's inaugural. Eisenhower warned about the dangers of undue influence being exerted on American politics by a, quote, military-industrial complex, unquote. Eisenhower was the first to use that term. And let's keep in mind that there was nobody more pro-military in the United States than General Eisenhower, the man who planned the D-Day invasion. He was a genuine war hero. He was a Republican who ran, basically, whichever party he picked was going to run him. He was enormously popular, two-term Republican president, not a man that can be accused of being, you know, soft on communism or anti-military in any stretch, you know, by any stretch of the imagination. Eisenhower cautioned us that the maintenance of a large permanent military establishment was new in the American experience, and he suggested to us that only an engaged citizenry offered an effective defense against what he called the misplaced power of the military-industrial lobby. It's often referred to as the Iron Triangle, this three-legged structure that consists of Congress on one leg, the Pentagon on the other, and the military defense contractors. They all seem to have this interlocking relationship whose purpose is to build arms that you and I, the American taxpayer, have to pay for. You may be surprised to learn that as it stands currently, America outspends for military procurement its next 16 rivals and allies in the world. We outspend more than the next 16 nations on earth for the military. That is a lot of money, and you have to ask some questions about that. Ike asked some questions back in 1961. I like to quote from his speech. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic processes. We should take nothing for granted. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machinery of defense with our peaceful methods and goals so that security and liberty may prosper together. I think these are words of wisdom from President Eisenhower, and I think we should ask the question of whether our motivations in going to war against Iraq are truly for the benefit of the American public due to the threats of a tyrant, or whether they are for the economic security of the Iron Triangle. And again, let's emphasize, this is ex-general, at the time president, Republican president, Dwight David Eisenhower speaking. Let me quote from his speech one other portion that I like. As we peer into society's future, we, you and I, and our government, must avoid the impulse to live only for today, plundering for our own ease and convenience the precious resources of tomorrow. We cannot mortgage the material assets of our grandchildren without risking the loss also of their political and spiritual heritage. We want democracy to survive for all generations to come, not to become the insolvent phantom of tomorrow. Frankly, there's no way I can improve upon those words. Well spoken, and thoughts I think we should keep in mind as we contemplate the upcoming year, 2003. You're listening to Radio Parallax here on KDVS 90.3 FM, and I'm your host, Douglas Everett. At this moment, we need to take a short break.